Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 395, the box office report for the week ending July 22nd, 2018.
Getting dangerously close to 400.
Yes.
Don't worry, we're not going to do anything special.
No, that's too much work.
We'll be here.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be like, what, the box office report from mid-August?
That happened to us at like 100 or something.
Hooray!
No, we're on even, so as long as we keep doing every other one, we'll be on 400.
Phew! So instead, we'll get like The Expendables 4.
Yeah, because Mission Impossible will be 398, and so probably nothing will come out after that. So it'll be just...
There has to be something.
But I mean, if that's a big one the next weekend, it's not going to be anything bigger than Mission Impossible, so, and they're not going to want to compete. So it's going to be like Elmo's Great Adventure. So, you know, it's going to be some like totally different kids movie or something.
We'll find out what it is.
You always get it wrong.
Every
time I'm like, I wonder what next week is.
Mission Impossible.
And yeah, well, if
just
you
always
say it,
Mission Impossible,
if you say it every week, you'll
I'm
be
bound to be right. At
you'll
some
be
point.
Right every 3 years. Oh goodness! So I'm just
let's do a curveball and do Mamma Mia.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's do that. That's a great idea, Joe.
Thank you.
So,
this was one of those times where I was like, these mothers.
The things we subject you to for the podcast.
Well, it's not even that. I was like, I don't think this is really. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're doing the Equalizer.
I saw Equalizer too.
I wish people could see his face right now.
Are you
kidding me? I did see Equalizer.
Yeah,
too.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, we knew you were seeing it.
Yeah.
Did you really see Mamma Mia?
You're goddamn right. I saw Mamma Mia. I'm dedicated to the show. When nobody said no, I assumed we were doing it.
Oh goodness.
Yeah,
yes,
well,
we're doing Mamma Mia, Joe.
I didn't see Equalizer.
But that was a great piece of theater.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That was good. Yeah.
That was real, by the way.
Yes,
that was not
he really thought that we pulled a fast one on
I did.
Oh goodness.
Because we can't do that too often or he'll catch on. So every 100 or so episodes
right.
we like to trick him.
Well, it's also like
and one of these days we'll do it.
This would have been the week to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like
right. Yeah, I know all the that's why we it was yeah. all well, the pieces were there.
Well played, you jerk offs.
And scene.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Of the assholes were played by Tom O'Keefe and Kevin Brackett.
As they always are.
As the part of the dumbass is played by Joe Patisi, as it usually is.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. I'm waiting for my energy drink to kick in. I was at Kenny Chesney last night and spent more time getting out of the parking lot than he played.
That's probably true.
So
if there was ever a time to rob Jeffco, it would have been last night.
Yeah.
WWE was in town and a country concert was in town.
I was like, man,
Jeffco was desolate.
Somebody dropped a bomb on Busch Stadium right now. This state might turn blue.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't ever park in garages.
Or, I wasn't in a garage.
Or lots. I always try to find street parking because I will tell
you're
not
going to find street parking downtown, though.
Yeah.
Well, around the stadium.
Well, it depends. I mean, I'll walk a few blocks, though, rather than wait an hour in the thing. Like, I just, anything I can do to avoid.
Then my concern, though, if street parking, you're more likely to get broke into. Like, don't forget, we're talking downtown St. Louis.
I mean, I just try to be, like, on a main street where there's lots of people that maybe walk by a garage. But I if I can go 3 hours early and get dinner, or you know what I mean?
All those people will smash your windows out. And take your car.
Yeah.
It's a risk I'm willing to take rather than wait 2 hours in the parking lot, because that is the nightmarish thing.
And I don't know what was going on, because it was like we literally sat in the parking lot for 30 minutes without moving. Uh-huh. Like not itching forward, like nothing, just stopped. And then all of a sudden, it broke free and it was like bloop, and we were out in 2 seconds. I was on 44.
That's
and we
how it always
home.
Is. You know, it's because people have no etiquette when it comes to letting people out. It should be every other person, you know, take turns. But all these other people are like, I got to get home. And, you know, and they just don't let anyone in. And so there's no constant movement, because you've got a parking lot sitting there while 5,000 people drive past you, you know, waving.
See
you.
Doing traffic. Like you're supposed to.
Kenny Chesney played for an hour and 50 minutes, and I bet you the last 10 minutes were them just jamming while he signed autographs for the people in front. And I'm just like, well, this is dumb. Yeah. I'm like, so when you really map it out, he played like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's a brilliant business strategy.
I'm just like, why would you? And I'd never seen him before.
Yeah,
I've never seen him. Oh, that's not true. He played at Scott Drake when I worked.
Yeah, there. Because I have taste,
country music does suck.
You know, like, I don't even like country music so much, but he just
it's a women thing.
He's like that new country.
He's like Jimmy Buffett Jr. Like, yeah. I don't like the whole, like, hey man, we're just gonna hang in Mexico and drink beer. I'm just chilling. Yeah. I'm like, you're worth like $700 million. You are not just chilling.
Yeah.
But most of his audience female? I mean, they think he's
no,
hot.
It was pretty. I mean, they do.
Well, you bring your boyfriends, but I'm just saying, like,
well, the guys were singing along just
were
fine.
They really?
Weren't they weren't sitting there arms crossed being all huffy about it. Like, they were.
I just didn't think that I didn't think a lot of guys were like, yeah, he's awesome. But maybe it's not the crowd I hang with. My thought was just like, oh, it's like Luke Bryan. Like, women love Luke Bryan. I'm like, that guy's not talented.
He's more talented than us.
I don't
know for sure. I mean, he's got a thing. I'm not trying to say that. I just, what I mean is, like, musically compared to every other musician and even other country people.
Wait, people
like,
think Luke Bryan is hot?
Women love
he's
Luke
on
Bryan.
TV. That's all you have to do at this point.
Women love him.
I just like, so he's coming to the same venue. So I was looking at a picture of him all last night.
Yeah.
And he was just a doofy looking mofo.
He does look like, he is, but
he looked like a guy. He looked like the look on his face in his promotional shot, right?
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't a candid photo.
Right.
Like a team of PR executives sat around, hand selected this, and then
photoshopped it.
And the expression on his face in this picture looked like someone had simultaneously asked him to solve an algebraic equation while smelling a fart.
Yeah, I mean, he does. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but he doesn't seem like Einstein. I mean, he's just a doofy guy, but he sings about, like, you know, listening to songs in the radio in your pickup truck. I mean, it's just he's a pop romantic country type.
Yeah.
Every song is about your girl.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about country music. Yeah. There's one aspect that really makes me feel old if you listen to country music, and that, like, every, you know, people are always like looking back on the past. It's all about nostalgia, right?
Sure,
right.
Sure.
And so, like, every third song has some sort of nostalgic reference to a burnt CD.
Huh.
Oh.
Like,
I guess that's true.
Like they're all referencing, like, you know, like
a burned mixtape,
like a mixtape,
right? Yeah, like you use it, like you like having them like burned CDs, like when you make your own CDs. Like,
do you remember when that was a thing, when you could just download them to a device?
Yeah,
like, that's a crazy thing. Like, let me wait 10 minutes for
I
this to finalize.
I can't just stream it from my phone.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
And so, like, there's still, like, there's like a lot of songs that reference, like, you know, the good old days with the riding around with your burned CD, or like how
your dog ran away with the CD. That's really heartbreaking. When
we're still old school, we still use burned CDs. So you get that a lot. And
your tractor ran away. That's a sad one.
And then there's a lot of a lot. I mean, I think there's like at least 8 or 10 big country hit records that reference John Mellencamp. Like, and I'm just like, why does country music? I want to do a super edit on YouTube
of all the John Mellencamp
of country music songs referencing non country music, like Florida, a lot of them. Like you hear John Mellencamp a lot, but Florida Georgia Line like references Drake and Tupac.
Well, yeah, because they're rap country.
Sure, but I'm just like, yeah,
yeah, they're they're hip hop. I mean, they just rap over like a country rock anthem kind of
yeah
thing.
That sounds like the worst of everything.
It's super catchy.
It's country rap. What do you think? The
it is super catchy. I mean, their song,
think about this, country rap, what's the hybrid name for that?
Crap.
Hip hop.
Well, that's
also I did not coin that. Yeah, I wish I had. It's very
it's crap though. I mean, you know, but you know what's funny is that a lot of people outside of Missouri might think Missouri is just this like fields and cows and corn. Like, it's funny listening to us, like, see, not everyone in Missouri is
loves country
on their tractor with their dog.
But I think that is a pretty fair notion, except for
St. Louis and Jeff City.
St. Louis and Kansas City.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And Jeff City is only, I mean, Jeff City is like, there's like a 300, there's like a 4-block radius around the Capitol, and then everything else is that.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, we're in St. Louis. We don't have farms or, you know, I mean, it's just like, people I think see Missouri, they're like, oh, they're just a bunch of hillbillies, but
yeah,
we live in a city that is not.
It's. Yeah. I remember when country music became popular again. I was probably a sophomore in high school.
I don't think it ever went away. It probably just was like your age.
There were like
something.
Ebbs and flows.
I think it's always just it's
always been there.
It's a niche, but it's a really big niche. Yeah. I'm always surprised at how you don't see more country music pop up in movies. Like there are.
That's true.
I mean when you like, even though I'm sitting here bagging on Kenny Chesney, that dude sold 40,000 tickets.
That's exactly
it. You know what?
It.
Luke Bryan's coming back to the same place and selling another 40,000 tickets. And like, they don't use their music in movies.
That's true.
Right? But they'll use these hip hop artists that, I mean, they don't sell tickets. I mean, hip hop doesn't typically sell very well from a concert standpoint, certainly not to the same degree as country and rock does.
Right.
I mean, there are certainly exceptions, but I don't feel like from a concert draw standpoint, their bench is as deep.
Well, I think from the concerts of them those rap concerts that I've worked, it's not just one act. Like they've got like 9-10 acts.
Well, it's based on
one venue.
It's based on the old rock concert
right
model. Like
yeah,
that's what rock concerts used to be. Right?
Right.
Like rock concerts used to be. I mean. And I'm going back to like the 50s.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I mean, that's why like 6 of them died in a plane crash.
Right.
Right.
Because
yeah, it was like Tonight Only, Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Waylon Jennings and,
all
you know,
of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Lester
yeah,
Tyler
that's...
and Willie. No. That's
you need Dan here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, sorry. It was a old ventriloquist from the 70s.
Oh.
I think maybe the only black ventriloquist the country's ever produced.
Oh, really?
I can't think of another one, but I'm not really super up on my ventriloquist.
I think there's Jeff Dunham and that guy.
And
that's it.
What the guy that did Madam?
And the creepy puppet from Goosebumps. Don't forget him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
whoever worked him.
Yeah.
Jay Johnson from Soap.
Was he? Oh, yeah, that's true. He was pretty good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's still out doing it, too.
Is he really?
He's really good.
Have we done plugs yet?
Nope.
No, we haven't.
Okay, let's go from ventriloquist to plugs.
Okay.
Famous plugs. Don't forget there. Say, play the same song.
Doing them all the through ventriloquism.
That's right, yeah.
So
you didn't know this whole show, Tom is working a dummy. He's never actually moved his mouth for 395 episodes.
Yes,
right,
that is
yeah,
true. I sit here with like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Look at you.
What? I got another one in there.
I know, yeah.
He, I mean, he had a radio show. Think about that.
Really?
Yeah, he started on radio. I mean, that. I mean, he didn't. I mean, he was working vaudeville or something.
Okay.
But like, there's a very famous story where they were bringing new acts to build radio shows to William Paley, who was the head of CBS at the time. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to warn you. But it's part of the story.
I already got him.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's for historical purposes. We
exactly. I have reason.
Yeah,
it's not just my
you
temper.
Can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And so,
Joe's going to start looking every curse in
I
history.
Know.
Yes,
that's
he's
right,
going to be like, I have a quote here from Thomas Paine.
He said,
So William Paley is like meeting with different acts to build radio shows around. And so they're like, oh, your next up is Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. So Edgar Bergen walks in and he's like, where's your partner? Like, he's thinking it's like a comedy team, Abbott and Costello, or, you know.
Oh.
And so he goes into a suitcase and he pulls out Charlie McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
And William Paley's like, you're a ventriloquist? And he's like, yeah. And he turns to the guy who's in charge of bringing people in. He's like, on the radio. And he's like, go ahead. You better be really fucking funny.
A ventriloquist?
Yeah.
On the radio? That's pretty good.
And also, just if you really want another reason to not like Jeff Dunham or be frustrated with Jeff Dunham. So he has a character called Bubba.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
I know he does like a terrorist puppet or something.
Yeah, Ahmed, the dead terrorist. Yeah. But he's got a puppet named Bubba. I think it's Bubba J, maybe? So,
okay, sure.
Sure. Sometime, if you're playing along at home, Google Jeff Dunham Bubba and look at that puppet. Now, keep that image in your mind, and then Google Edgar Bergen Mortimer Snerd. They are the same puppet. They talk the same way. I mean, I don't know how he's not getting sued by the estate of Edgar Bergen. It is like the
same thing.
Is just a complete ripoff of Mortimer Snerd. But these kids today aren't up on the history of ventriloquism.
Wow,
the Mortimer Snerd estate. Also, just kind of
state of the puppet. Yeah. Like, all his
you know that
kids.
The puppet's not a actual.
They don't know that.
They're not just really small people.
Yeah, they're not.
I've seen plenty of them up.
They just need to hold them up to the mic.
Now you want it? Like, so
have we done plugs yet?
Nope. No.
Okay.
So Edgar Bergen, like he made some movies. They were, you know, like
with the puppets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so they show them every once in a while on Turner Classic Movies. And so like they were trying to take radio people and put them in movies and build things around them. So like there's one where it's like him and Fibber McGee and Molly and like just a bunch of stuff like that. And, but it's really creepy. Like there's one where Charlie McCarthy is supposed to have a dance scene.
Okay.
Right.
I never like it when puppets move their legs.
Oh, you're going to like this even less.
Oh,
so
they film real people's legs.
They like, got a little person.
Yeah. I figured.
And put them in like Charlie McCarthy always wore tux cause he's classy.
Right. Yeah.
And,
just for the like, job you want, not the one you have.
Right. Yeah. And so they would like get a close up of his face,
right,
like just moving as if he were dancing.
And look down to the little person's feet.
And then they would cut away and it wouldn't just the feet. It was
a body.
It was like the whole thing. They put a
they
little person
far away.
They put a
so
little
they...
person in a tux and like pan back in a wide shot because it was like him in a line of dancing
right, so
girls.
It'd be, like, far enough away.
No. And it was like it's the creepiest
it's like
thing
of a horror
ever.
Movie.
Yeah, like, and I don't mean that to disparage little people. I'm just saying that, like,
no, it's a disparage ventriloquist.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the juxtaposition of like here's a close up of a ventriloquist dummy face, and then you pull away, and it's like this organic living thing. And then you cut back to this dead face. It was like they invented the uncanny valley.
Yeah, right.
I believe they call that nightmare fuel.
Oh
yes, I think
God.
You're right. Yes, I
it's
believe
like,
you're,
it's
you are
worth,
correct.
Yeah. It's worth seeking out just to freak yourself out. So
this Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
So back to shameless plugs.
Yeah.
You can share the show. You can join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to do that and probably never will again. Timmy Tuesday.
Listen to this great episode about ventriloquists and country music.
Oh, wait. This one's going to get worse.
Yeah. No, it's the next one.
No, I mean.
Oh, he's talking about
the other thing we're going to talk about.
We haven't talked about James Gunn yet. So, yeah. So, anyway, people who were kind enough to share the show. Timmy Tuzoons, Librarian Cynthia, Richard Lawson, Linnea Thunsell, Chris James, Troy Anspaugh, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Nick Scott, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Fox Smith, Ralph Tribble, Brent Smith, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Musings of a Cosplay Witch. So thank you very much. And if you'd like to hear your name on the show after discussions of ventriloquists and vaudeville and all sorts
Luke
of fun
Bryan.
Things like that.
Yeah, headshots.
The iron lungs, tuberculosis vaccines, just really fun old timey stuff.
All kinds of good stuff.
Yes. You can do that by going to the real facebook.com/realspoilers and sharing the show on your Facebook page. So there is
we have
all
a Patreon
that.
Too.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I'm all over the place.
We'll get you there.
Still
sorry.
Waiting for that energy drink to kick in. And
were you at a concert?
Yeah, I was.
Well, did was
I,
it a country
I went to see Kenny Chesney. I'm on a loop. I think next time I go to see a concert the next morning, instead of an energy drink, I'm just going to do Coke.
Yeah.
Just a little bump.
Yep.
Just get me through the day. I see how right. it starts now.
That is exactly how it starts.
Yeah. I'll just do it this one time.
Yeah.
I just need it to get me over the hump. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, that was my best show ever. Next thing you know, it's Scarface. Right.
VH1 behind the podcast.
Burying his face.
Tom O'Keefe.
Tom, that's Dan's seat. Well, he's not sitting there today.
Yeah. I can sit in both of them. Turn on all the mics.
I've been studying ventriloquism.
So
it was a dark time for the podcast star.
So before we dig into the box office,
we have a Patreon.
Oh, Patreon. Don't forget our Patreon. Patreon.com/realspoilers, where you can get all sorts of bonus content.
Yeah, I think this week we're going to do we didn't release one on Friday, which we normally do. So we waited for the end of Comic-Con, which will end today. We're recording this on Sunday. So
we'll probably be up by the time they listen to this.
Yeah,
around the same
true.
Time.
Yeah.
Comic-Con wrap-up, and then we are going to do our Mission Impossible episode
Correct.
That will go into next week's Mission Impossible 6.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
There
so you can find all that at patreon.com/realspoilers for as little as $5 a month.
That's right.
So there. Now we can talk about James Gunn.
Okay.
So, obviously, everybody heard about it. Disney fired him off of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which
he was less than 24 hours after this hit job.
But it's also like, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this properly.
Why start now?
Well, that's true. The guy that found these tweets also is worse.
Wait,
a million times worse than
this is the guy that started Pizzagate. I don't know if you're familiar with that, where they were accusing the this is if you don't follow politics then what I'm saying is true, not the story isn't true, but the fact that this story existed is
right.
true. Mm-hmm. He started a story that accused the Clintons, who I am no fan of, just for the record.
Okay.
No, same,
I say that so you when you hear the rest of what I'm he accusing the Clintons of running a pedophilia ring out of a pizza parlor that got enough traction that somebody showed up at the pizza parlor
and killed somebody.
I don't think they killed somebody, but they sure tried.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think they did.
Did they? I thought they didn't. I thought it didn't get quite that far.
He came in with a gun.
He came with a gun and fired off some shots,
That's
but I don't
is.
Think he got anybody.
Okay.
Either way, this is someone that tries to incite violence through these extreme means. He's a conspiracy
and he's also
theorist.
Oddly obsessed with pedophiles.
Yeah, he did the same thing to Michael Ian Black.
Everything is he sees pedophiles everywhere.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of like when you
smelt it, dealt it.
I feel like it's like when you buy a Volkswagen Bug and suddenly you're like, there are Volkswagen bugs everywhere.
Right.
I've never noticed this before.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, I mean we definitely don't want to make any accusations.
I will. Why? Why not? They can do
this guy will burn you to the ground,
so,
and that's how he gets away with what he does.
Yeah. That's true.
But I mean, history has shown that a lot of these, anti-gay conservatives. Oh, guess what? They were caught tapping their toes in the bathroom stall,
right?
And so, but this guy is weirdly
that is
obsessed.
A phrase I've never heard of in my life.
Yeah, there was
a
senator.
Real thing.
There was a senator who was a senator, congressperson, but a politician who was super conservative, very anti-gay, and they caught him in an airport bathroom.
It's code. If you tap your toes a certain way, it means you want to
You start moving your foot towards the other stall.
Interesting.
And then if the other person in the other stall
responds,
I gotta think that can't be that seems like a something that's left over from the 40s.
right.
It's like gay people don't have to have secret sex in bathrooms anymore.
No,
those days are gone.
You can do it wherever you want.
If you're having
within reason.
If you're having secret gay sex in a bathroom, it's because you're a conservative Christian and you're having secret gay sex with another conservative Christian.
Correct.
Because regular gay people, they just go to Grindr.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
It's real easy.
It's very easy. In fact, Grindr is killing gay bars. Gay bars are going under left and right because they don't.
I guess you have to go to the money.
You don't need to go out anymore.
Yeah.
You can just hop on Grindr.
There's one 3 miles away.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, though, this guy is going after all these famous comedians.
Right.
You know, so who was it?
Michael
Ian Black is one of the most recent. Patton Oswalt. But comedians, I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, look at Eddie Murphy's stand-up comedy and how terrible it was and how much has he worked after that. Like, but these are jokes. They're bad, offensive jokes, but they are jokes. These people aren't actually committing crimes. Well, and this guy's going after comedians for jokes.
And how can Disney, like,
and keep Johnny Depp?
How can they keep Sarah Silverman?
Yeah. Right. That's legit.
They got a movie coming out with Sarah Silverman in
a kids movie.
In 6 months.
Hypocritical.
Well, because nobody's called him on that yet. As Wreck-It Ralph starts to get closer, this guy's going to set his sights on Sarah Silverman. You write down this date in this episode, and that's what's going
to
happen.
I have to believe they're going to bring him back.
I don't think they can at this point.
They might have to.
Well, there are two things at play here that I haven't really seen very many people discuss and that I think are driving Disney's decision.
Okay.
The first and probably most important is they got a merger that they need the federal government to approve.
That's true.
And they don't need any of this BS.
Oh,
right now.
That's the conservative very true. People voting on the merger.
Right?
Ah, okay.
And so,
so he might sneak back in after the merger.
I don't know if they would go that far, but because I don't know that they would, I don't know how long this process is going to take.
Sure.
They still have to get that movie out.
They're supposed to shoot this fall.
Yeah.
It's summer. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're right.
And so, but then are they going to completely jettison his script? And start
That's the
over?
Thing, though, because
I mean, the script is written, right?
He wrote the entire script.
Right.
So if he doesn't direct it, he's still going to have a big, fat writing credit. He also has producing credits for the character.
Yeah, they can't take that away.
He created that version of those characters. It's like MGM owning Dorothy's ruby slippers.
Right.
Like, you can't use the ruby slippers. You can have emerald slippers or silver or whatever. But, like,
yeah,
those ruby slippers
When Disney made Return to Oz, they used them, but they had to license them.
The Universal Monsters are the same way. Like, you can't do a Frankenstein movie with the bolts and the scars.
Right.
And
the square head and the, yeah.
And I'm not saying James Gunn owns the Guardians. I just mean he invented them for Disney, and so he has to get credit for creating them, at least. But
I think he gets credit for the movie version.
So if they use his script that he completely wrote, he writes them on his own, it's like, well, so are you going to have it written by James Gunn and have James Gunn's script and have him be a producer, but not, like, what's the difference? Like,
I think,
he's still involved,
I think they have to use his script. Like, I have to believe that there's something with the DGA or the WGA.
I mean,
I don't think whoever they want.
They can fire him.
I guess you're buying the script. That's
they
what I'm saying.
Him,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you're buying the script and you don't have to use it.
To save possibly losing hundreds of millions over controversy, they can throw him $5-10 million. It doesn't matter to them. They want to save hundreds. Like,
right.
It's they're playing on a different level. But I think the big thing, did you get to point two?
I did not.
Okay,
point two is they saw what the right-wing hate machine did to Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's true. That's also true. But it's just like, where do you draw the line then?
That's the problem. Because as we all know, I mean, we're all fans of comedy here. And comedy has been outrageous and offensive for a long time. It does not excuse James Gunn's jokes, as in, like, maybe they're bad jokes. I mean, maybe they're not funny. Maybe
I think they were in bad taste.
Yeah, they're in bad taste. But all that being said, they were still jokes, right?
Well,
in 2009.
Yes.
11.
10 years ago.
To me, the bigger issue is again, twofold. One is that the people who are complaining about this aren't offended by jokes like that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, they love jokes like that as long as it's coming from their side of the equation.
Sure.
And so they're...
Tim Allen makes these jokes.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean,
these are the same people that stuck up for Roseanne and,
had a video come out where she is off the rails.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's like it was a Funny or Die interview.
Yeah.
And she is off the rails.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I saw somebody on Twitter, I don't remember who, but I thought they made a good point, is that, like, the difference between jokes about pedophilia and racist jokes is you can make jokes about pedophilia without being a pedophile, but if you make a racist joke,
you're a racist. That's true. I mean, that's legit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's also, we've gotten to a point where we can't talk. You can't have this, you can't have a conversation.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think we've gotten to the point to where James Gunn, like, had apologized for these
years ago.
Years ago. Like, this wasn't a, the heat was on him and he apologized.
Right.
This was, he's like, you know, looking back, like, that's not who I want to be. And I thought that I was this crazy, edgy guy. And he's like, and I'm really not. And, like, looking, reading these now in the, you know, cold light of day, like, and then.
This was in 2012.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's not even on. Guardians isn't even.
I think he's just getting
yet.
Ready to start okay. it.
Yeah. He apologized before Guardians 1. I think this is the deeper issue. It's not just, I mean, this sets a terrible precedent.
Yeah.
These are jokes, blah, blah, blah. There's lots of that. Then this whole other issue was he apologized and Disney knew about this before Guardians 1. This came up again before Guardians 2. You're firing him before Guardians 3 for something you knew about before 1
in
and
2013.
He apologized.
Right.
2014.
It's that
when it came out? And then the question you got to ask yourself is, why do you, if you agree with firing James Gunn, why do you try and change people's minds?
Yeah,
like why do you make an effort? Because what you're saying is, here's a guy who did change his mind. Here's a guy who looked at his own behavior and said, "Ooh, yeah, you're right."
And I was in the wrong.
And then you have a long track record of him behaving differently,
completely
differently. He's a charitable person. He does tons for animal rescues. I mean, he donates a lot to charity. I mean, from everything you see about James Gunn over the past 10 years, since these jokes, he's a stand-up person.
Yeah.
Everyone that knows him says he is a great person.
And so, why do you even engage in discourse if somebody who changes their mind on the topic you want them to change their mind on, you're still going to use it to bludgeon them 10 years later?
It's how like, many people have been saved by Jesus and accept Jesus? How many drug addicts, criminals use, you know, find religion
it's
and
like,
become better people? Do you
the people that support Trump when you bring up his checkered past, and it is a checkered past.
Yeah,
like that's the first thing they say. Well, that's in the past, and he's different now.
Oh, fine.
And so, like,
if that's what you want to believe, that's fine.
Yeah,
but it's like fighting with your wife. And
oh, I would never fight with your wife.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
She's really smart. So one of the things that is a thing that used to come up in our relationship all the time. She's gonna love that I'm telling this.
Yeah, she listens.
Yeah, that's true. Is like
your
she
browser
would,
history.
She would hit no, but she would hit me with things.
Like a skillet,
a cast iron.
Right.
Those things are no joke.
Yeah, she doesn't even cook with a cast iron.
We just have one to
she
hit me.
It.
Yeah.
Do little birds fly around your head when she
it
hits
was
you?
Solely
she hits the birds.
Yeah.
But no, like she would hit me with things from a fight like 6 months ago that was quashed. Where I'm just like,
I'm going to let you know a little secret. Your wife did not invent
that.
Yeah.
No, I know. No, not at all. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying she invented it, but that was a thing that we would do.
Totally.
And it's just like, you can't, like,
settle things and move forward.
If we said 6 months ago, we fought it out.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over. You can't come back and hit me with that.
And you know what's frustrating as a guy? Because that is a painting with a broad brush.
It is.
No pun intended.
No.
But it is something that women tend to do more than men. And
remember this time? Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
And as a guy, it's frustrating because it's like, dude, I can tell you like what theater I saw The Godfather 3 in, you know, 30 years ago. But like, I don't sit here and catalog past grievances in my relationships
right.
the same way. So in the when they're like, you know, what about this? And you're like, you know, and then is
what about the
as quick witted as I am in that moment, I don't even think about stuff like that. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, well, what about the time?
It's some Marge Simpson where she's like, and then take that, Becky.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
you're
I'm
on
saying.
The toilet, and you're like, wait a minute, I remember that time you looked at me funny.
Yeah. And then if you go to my first marriage, it's even worse.
Yeah,
it's like 2 days later. Hey, what about the time you drained the checking account at the boat because you were gambling all night?
No, just me. Okay,
just,
great.
Okay.
But yeah, there was a tweet that I saved because it's from the gal. Hopefully I pronounced this right. Her name is BJ Canangelo, and she said,
that's a fun name to say.
It is, yeah. And then the tweet is basically, it's like, hi, friendly neighborhood rape survivor here. Friendly reminder that people were not nearly as woke. I hate that word so much. That's me saying that, not her.
Yeah.
10 years ago as they are now about quote unquote joking about rape and sexual deviancy. If we don't allow people to learn and change, they never will.
Yeah.
Because
you're disincentivizing people from changing.
Right. And I think James Gunn is one of those cases. Publicly, it could be a public thing. I
I don't know the man personally, but everything I've seen more people come to his defense than I have ever seen in the whole Me Too movement.
But because this is a completely different situation again, and I'm not just trying to
I agree.
I don't want to dismiss anything, but you've got lots of factors at play. One, he did not physically assault anyone.
Nope.
He didn't. These other people in the Me Too are accused of molestation, assault, rape, whatever. Okay.
That's true.
So he made jokes, bad jokes, tasteless, terrible jokes that he apologized for. So he didn't assault anyone. This was in the past, and he's already apologized for it. And three, the Disney firing comes after they knew about it 6 years ago. So it's just there's so many factors at play where people are like, yeah,
what is it? Bob Iger? Is that his name?
Who's in charge of Disney? Yeah.
Lasseter is the one that got fired.
No, but who's the other one? Who's the one that was like
Iger's
buddy
the
buddy
CEO.
With Trump?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I didn't think he did anything bad.
No. But I'm saying.
Oh, maybe he. Oh, I see what you're saying. He's concerned.
To go back to Tom's point,
yeah,
about the merger.
Because James Gunn, if you follow his Twitter feed, is like multiple posts a day,
very left
about Trump, I personally think a lot of the problem they had is it wasn't just vitriol of like this guy's
he'd hit
POS.
You with some facts.
He's just like, here's another story about money laundering.
Right.
Here's another story about, you know.
He was very outspoken politically, and this was a hit job.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it's a shame. Like, this dude.
Go look up his Twitter past. Go look up the art. Go look up the tweet about rape and he.
Who? James Gunn?
No, the guy who's going after
him. Oh, yeah.
Right, I thought we were talking about him. Yeah, I mean, go look up his stuff. And he was accused of rape, and apparently there's some stories out there about how he got it dropped to battery or assault or something.
Yeah, he's a garbage human being.
But it's like,
and
this
it was
guy,
eventually expunged from his record, right. Just to put the
So, but I mean, go look up his past and the things he's written. Also, he has some blog posts out there that are awful. The whole thing is the guy seems like a creep. That's just opinion, you know. Maybe.
Well, it definitely feels like I got accused of rape, so I'm going to go around accusing everybody.
Well, then Ted Cruz comes out and he's just like, he needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Roy Moore.
Right. Like, you should probably back off the gas a little bit there, buddy.
And I think that, like, again, a lot of these people that are against James Gunn are the same people that were telling you that you should vote for Roy Moore.
Right.
And so it's like, it's just they've weaponized cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. I'm honestly shocked at how fast Disney pulled the trigger. Like, we haven't seen that. I mean, it took Harvey Weinstein, it took months.
Yeah, but the Roseanne thing was 24 hours, too, since she made that joke.
But Harvey Weinstein owned his own company.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean?
Harder to get fired from when you're the head of the board of directors and
the
majority shareholder.
Was the Roseanne Barr thing 24 hours?
It was pretty
damn quick.
Once
she made
quick.
The comments, it was the next day,
She says she thought that woman was white in that Funny or Die interview.
Oh, whatever.
She's like, I thought that woman was white.
She might have. She's,
okay.
She. I mean, have you ever seen a picture of the woman?
No.
She's very light skinned.
Okay.
So she. Maybe she did. I don't know.
In an like ambient induced stupor. But
anyway,
it's
a shame because we've mentioned all the details, but it's just. I mean, none of us are obviously in support of any kind of domestic abuse, rape, child. I mean, that of course we're not. I mean, that's these people that are online are like, oh my God, how can you defend such a sicko? Blah blah blah. It's like, no, you're not. It's the fact is that again, these were bad jokes and they were in the past, and you're setting a really bad precedent because as Tom mentioned, how many people are you going to go after? I don't know how Eddie Murphy works anymore from all those 80s comedy specials.
We got 395 episodes of this, and based on that, I'll tell you, I won't be directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, nope.
I mean, they've said Taika Waititi's name, and I'm like,
threw that out.
But I mean, like, that's what I mean. Anybody to pick up that ball, he would be the guy to do it. I mean, his Thor is...
Thor was a copy of...
Was basically a
The right. tone, it was,
sure. In a visual look and everything. But it's amazing. Like, so Disney,
I wouldn't do it if I was any of them. I think, and maybe they will. I think the whole cast should band together. I know they got contracts, but you also can't force people to work. You can show up on set and give a crappy performance, but like, who wants that? I think they should all band together. I think no director should take it. I mean, of course they could get some kid out of film school.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? I think they should stick to their guns, no pun intended, but, and just,
well, you could say, I mean, Sean counts too.
Yeah. Not do it. I mean, it's just, they can do it. And Batista's already come out. He's a big part of Guardians.
And he goes, I mean, he, he owes his career to James Gunn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Michael Rooker does too. Yeah. I mean, Rooker's been around forever, but the James
Chris
Gunn
Pratt
stuff
does as well. Chris Pratt,
Movie made him a superstar.
Exactly
he
right.
He was on a funny show, but that movie made him a superstar.
He was in some cameo roles, but he became a superstar.
You get Chris Pratt to stick up, but then Chris Pratt's super conservative Christian.
Oh, is he really?
He's very religious. And
I know
so
he's
I
religious. I couldn't tell how conservative.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean, he's just conservative. He's religious. And you know, and so I don't know that he wants that conservative backlash because he is religious. And now you're talking about, you know, kids and bad. It's just, I don't know that he will. But if he stuck to his guns, if he didn't, I mean, he's, you can't do it without
you
Chris
walk
Pratt.
Away, you walk, if Star-Lord walks away, you don't have a movie.
Yeah.
You don't.
And you can't recast that.
No. Well, you mean you can try. It's not going
to
happen.
No, they would just have to reboot it. Yep. It would be, So anyway, but it's a crazy
story.
That's
why they made the Ravagers.
Yeah. It's Stallone and the
Ravagers.
And
the
Ravagers,
yeah.
So enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy 3 starring Scott Baio.
I don't think I'll see it. If he doesn't direct it, I don't care enough.
We'll end up doing an episode.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
I know, but I don't. I mean, I just won't see it. I don't care enough. I mean, I mean, seriously, I don't love it that much where it's like, if they're going to
screw
him over,
I'm just...
So here's the
interesting, you should say that, though, right? Yeah. So, like, people from the boycotted Star Wars, I mean, what happens when the left-handed side says, fine, if you want to do this as Star Wars, you want to pull this garbage with James Gunn, maybe we'll pull our money, too.
Well, I will say that...
That
side of the equation doesn't typically hold together as strongly, unless it's about something like a Harvey Weinstein,
right?
Or at this point, I think it will be difficult 2 years from now to be like, remember when James Gunn got fired? And that was BS, and we should now go. Like,
now a Marvel movie comes out, people will see it. That's the problem. But I mean, personally, I mean,
but I will also say, people used to think that about Star Wars.
That's true.
Well,
now they're gutting that whole thing.
But I mean, I'll stick to my guns and I'll review the episode with you guys and I'll have it spoiled. But if he doesn't direct it, I don't care enough. I mean, Guardians, I like the Guardians movies and I think he's a great director and that's why I think this is a shame. But if he doesn't direct it, whatever. I don't need to go see it. I don't care.
And it's just the fact that nobody's saying a word about Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Depp is in the middle of a... Is it over?
You see what he did?
I believe it's over.
No.
What, filming?
No,
Comic-Con.
No.
I'm sorry.
Him and Amber Heard.
I thought you meant his divorce.
I did.
Issues.
That's what I meant.
Because he was just at Comic-Con yesterday.
Yeah.
What happened?
No. She's on stage doing the Aquaman. Like, it's her and Momoa.
No, it was
and,
after. So Warner Brothers has their big Hall H presentation. And Joe and I can talk about this more on the Patreon. But Warner Brothers does all their movies. They do a big 3-hour thing at Hall H that everyone lines up for all day. And you see Fantastic Beasts and, you know, Eddie Redmayne's there and all the stars are there. And no one thought Johnny Depp would show up, but he does. Then after that is the Aquaman panel starring Amber Heard, the woman that he abused, you know,
allegedly.
Well, okay, sorry. I thought that was, I mean, I thought they had
it. It was in the suit, but but no charges have been filed.
I see. Okay.
So.
But so, I mean, not only are, I mean, they're in the same room one after another with all this going on. So not only did they not fire him when all this happened and it was found that, I mean, I don't think they had filmed yet. I'm like, are they seriously going to keep him in this role? He was in the last movie for 4 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
And I couldn't believe they kept him. I thought that was terrible. But then he comes and does this surprise visit right before his ex-wife, who is he's accused of assaulting, and we've seen the videos, so even if he hasn't physically assaulted her, provenly, like, we've seen his verbal abuse.
Yeah, sure.
And so it just seemed like a terrible move
it
by
is
Warner
a
Brothers.
Terrible
to,
move.
I mean,
especially, like, there has to be some sort of protection.
Yeah.
Like, Warner Brothers has to be held accountable for providing, as just like any other, you know, just like working at Savas or just like working at Merrill Lynch.
They're an employer,
I think I made it data. I don't think Merrill Lynch is still around, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Sure.
But I mean, like, that the employer has a responsibility to keep their employees safe.
Yeah.
And a situation where you've got an ex-husband and an ex-wife who are embattled in a pretty bitter and nasty lawsuit that are alleging physical abuse, and you allow them both to literally cross paths. Like, they're shoulder to shoulder. Like, he's walking off stage, she's walking on stage. Like, that is not okay.
Was it to that degree? Like, I I would think that there's at least like a gap between the things. Do they really have to like
think
that?
No, I think they're probably.
I'm just asking. I don't
think
know.
He's just.
I mean, okay. But I mean, like they're close enough to each other.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But I get it. It just seems in really bad taste. I think it's. I mean, just that scheduling, whatever. Who knows? Maybe they both approved it. Maybe they. You know what I mean? We don't know all the details, but it looked really bad. But what I think is worse is Disney keeping Captain Jack Sparrow, the face of the franchise, who is this? I mean, why is that any different? We've seen what he's done, and those are accusations, but we've seen things he's done. We've heard the stories. And then Fantastic Beasts, he's the bad guy, main villain in that movie. And it's such a double standard. It's like, where do you go? If you're going to start attacking people, we could go right down the line, and where do you stop? And I think Joe alluded to that at the very beginning. It's like, where do you draw the
line? Where's the line?
Yeah. This is a very scary
precedent. I gotta tell you, I feel like James Gunn brings in more money than Johnny Depp at this point.
I think the problem is that I don't think people go to see the movie because of James Gunn.
They don't know that.
They don't realize that he's not trying to take away his achievement.
No, totally.
But
totally.
The average film goer is just like, I like those Guardians movies.
They're on two sides of the camera. That's the thing. So James Gunn does bring in more money because he's great at what he does, but people don't see that. And that's exactly why Johnny Depp wasn't fired from Fantastic Beasts and why he's Jack Sparrow, because you can replace James Gunn, you know, and you may get a worse movie, but people will still give it money. But you don't put Johnny Depp in Pirates, how much money you think those movies make? He was a side character and they made him the main character.
Right, that's
true. He was the funny comic relief to Elizabeth Swan and
Orlando Bloom,
Pirate Pete, whatever he was.
Pirate Pete.
Bill That's Nye. What, I don't
Bill
know what he...
Bill Nye.
Yeah, whatever.
William.
Yeah, That's William. There, for. Bill. See? Yeah. Bill. And his dad was played by Bill Nye. Anyway, so it's like...
Bill Nye the pirate guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So I just think that, we're getting in really murky waters here. And,
yeah, it's dangerous.
Oh, nice pirate reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, now that we've solved that...
Tune in for more of this.
Yeah.
Hopefully on Monday or Tuesday of next week.
So we will turn our eyes to hopefully a brief box office report. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I let you talk about Ventriloquist for 15 minutes, so I will spend as much damn time with the box office as I want. Thank you very much. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, the aptly titled film with mostly songs from the first movie, but we'll get into that. $39 million opening.
Have I got questions about that movie?
So you never saw the first one? This is going to be... Well, I figured as much.
No!
That's the same look my stepdaughter gives us when we tell her to pick up after herself.
Me? Why would I do that?
Why would I do that?
I really knew Joe wouldn't have seen it, and so I'm excited to talk to him, not just about this movie, but also, like, do you have questions about the first one? Because this whole movie is based on, like... What happened in the first movie?
I think I figured out.
It's the backstory of the entire first movie.
I figured that out, but this is. We'll get into it. This is everything.
But even this movie doesn't pay attention to what happened in the first movie. Right.
If you've seen the first movie, you have even more questions because you're just like, what? But how?
But you said in the.
Yeah.
They're gearing up for that third one.
It makes no
sense.
All
of your questions will be answered in Mamma Mia 3.
So I just wanted to mention, though, since we are talking about these Mamma Mia movies, I don't know if you guys realize how much money.
I remember it making
that first movie
made. A bunch of money.
A ton.
It was the highest grossing live musical of all time until Beauty and the Beast came around.
Yeah.
The highest. Only knocked off recently.
Huh.
Like, that's how big it was. It made $144 million domestic, the first one, on a $52 million, so triple its budget domestically.
Right.
$465 million overseas.
And that was all in Sweden.
Yeah. If you want to know why, but I mean, like, there's a Mamma Mia 2.
What I want to know why is why it took 10 years.
That's a good point. It's My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Why did that sequel take so long? I guess you had that TV show.
They tried to do that TV show because, let's face it, that movie, and I enjoyed the first My Big Fat Greek Wedding for what it was.
Yeah, it's whatever.
But it was a TV pilot.
Sure.
Like, it was just three episodes of a TV show strung together.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it. This movie is about a Big Fat Greek Wedding.
It is.
It's My Big Fat Musical Greek
Wedding.
Without
musicals.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That's probably why I like the other one better.
Yeah. So $39 million opening weekend for Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. It has a $75 million budget. It has made already $20 million overseas. So
I've always, like, when you say that overseas budget for the first one, like.
Overseas take?
Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, overseas take. Like, where? Like, I have, like, it couldn't have played in China.
I could answer that question for you.
Okay. Like, I'm just curious, like, where.
But you got to think, I mean, it's got you. I think you're discounting the appeal of ABBA.
Oh, I absolutely am.
I mean, the whole show is based on their fantastic music.
Right.
Okay, so the UK.
They're good songs.
I mean, I love Mamma Mia, and I think the music's great, but that's, and I like it.
I've never seen the stage play, but that first movie was a total turd.
So, well, I disagree, but the stage show, we'll get into it. I've seen it more than any other stage show. It is one of the most fun musicals you can go to. I think you'd love it. It's a lot of fun.
Is it the same storyline?
Well, I mean, it's the same story. But
I didn't know how much they changed. Yeah,
no,
they make big changes.
Like, no, it's very similar.
Like, see the stage version of Bye Bye Birdie versus the movie.
Yeah, it's a little
different.
Yeah. No, it's the same. But I mean, I think ABBA's music is so good that it's
no,
like,
their songs are catchy, but that movie was just crap.
Interesting. Blech. Interesting. Okay. But United Kingdom, $100 million right there of the 400, you know. But Japan, almost $30 million.
Interesting.
Germany, $40 million. Australia, 25 million.
Okay.
That seems high, but who knows? France, 13. So a lot of big, Italy, 13. Eight in the Netherlands, five in New Zealand. I mean, it just made solid money. Hmm. 10 in Russia, $10. No, 10 million. Yeah. But it made money ever. Spain, 19. Like, it's universal.
What
it's music.
Greece?
I think that's the, $4.
Yeah, for
no, it's they have to see it. It's part of their government, so they just show it in schools and now and
it's issued
mandated.
To them. This is the way the Americans think this operates over here.
Yeah. Greece, it made $7.3 million, okay. Which
that's
seems
probably
like a lot
for their population. Country, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay,
we'll get into the sequel next, but it's already made 50-something on a $75 million, and we'll see where it goes from there. The other new movie of the week, The Equalizer 2, $33.2 million, Denzel Washington's first ever sequel.
I think everybody has completely forgotten Malcolm 1 through 9.
Well, those are prequels.
Fair enough.
So, very
how they get you. Yeah.
Malcolm 10. But anyway, $33.2 million, and do we have a budget? $62 million, so it made about half its budget back. No foreign money yet on this one, though. You guys both saw it. How does it hold up?
I was fun.
I actually think I liked it better than the first one.
Yeah,
I felt like the first one took forever to get
going.
Did you
go back and watch the first one, Joe?
No.
Okay, so you just saw the second
one? Yeah, I just saw the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wasn't on... Daniel was on that episode. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was... like they don't stop. Like, it's like every 15 to 20 minutes, like, you could time it. It was like, oh, what?
Awesome.
Somebody did die.
Yeah.
That first one was awesome.
It was good.
And the nail gun shootout in the sprinklers that looked like a fight in the rain. Like, you didn't see it, but that first movie was
I forgot about that part. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I just remember it took a while to get going. I will also say this one is a slow burn, but I felt like they peppered the action in, like,
did.
It'd be slow, and then, like, boom, they'd give you something to pay off.
See, I feel like maybe it was a little of a slow burn on the first one, but he was so badass. It was like, once you got a scene, you were like, holy cow, this guy's, like, you don't mess with this guy.
No, this one,
he was
so
reserved that when he does something badass, you're like, where did that come from?
There's a scene in a hotel room that was the best scene of the movie. I loved, like, there's a whole scene.
It wasn't dirty?
No.
Oh.
Well, it was just a woman getting abused then killed.
Right. No, he drops her off.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when the lady gets got.
No. When they throw the girl in the Uber. When he's driving.
Okay.
And he takes her home.
Oh, that one. That was a really good scene. I thought you were talking about when his friend gets it.
No. That was
I was like, that was kind of rough to watch. They were really roughing her up.
They were.
It wasn't sexual.
And she was holding her own, too. Like, I was like, she's kicking their ass. And then, obviously.
Yeah.
But, there's a whole scene where he goes up and he goes back. He knocks on the door and these rich yuppies. Probably not yuppies anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, bros.
With money.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, your credit card was declined. And, of course, the one guy's like, we tell you to do one thing. And he turns it like, what does he say? He says something. And, like, the guy behind him, like, clicks the door. And he was like, I'm going to give you one opportunity. And if you don't want to take it, that's fine. But just be prepared. And then the guy's like, he's like, you picked the wrong hotel room, Pops. And it was game. Like, he's snapping arms in half. The guy hands him a... it's like the Discover Black card.
It was like there's like an Amex Black card, which honestly I think was an urban legend, but it reached critical mass that Amex just finally put one out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like he's like, I've never seen one of these before. He's like, just pay whatever you want. Tip yourself real nice. And he takes the, I guess it's metal.
Yeah. And he takes the card and like whips it at the kid and like
gambit.
Yeah, he splits his head wide open. There's blood everywhere.
It was a real card, but it was called the Centurion card, not the black card.
Yeah.
So it was the Amex Centurion, which black and made of metal. And then Visa came out with a black card and trademarked that and called it the black card because everyone called the Amex the black card.
Right.
So Visa's like, yeah. And the annual fee is $500. They sent me an invitation. I'm like, nope. So to feel cool,
you have to pay the $500.
Yeah. To feel cool and whip out a black
card.
Well,
it also gets you a lot of different benefits. Like if you travel a lot, it gets you into like special VIP lounges.
But you would have to spend tens of thousands of dollars a year to make back the $500. Like it's for rich people that can they have the black card.
Well,
right?
and if you own your own business, it can be pretty easy to run that much money to a card if you
run everything for the business. Sure. Right. But anyway, they sent it to me and I'm like, no, I don't care what color or make my credit card.
I will
take
this sweet white debit card.
Does the bill still come? Do I have to pay it? No.
But the bill is printed on metal.
Oh.
Does that change your mind?
Oh, because they have to mail metal tablets to you.
Right.
That's why you're just paying for postage.
Yeah, it's cost effective when you think about it.
Yeah, right. You get that and you can melt it down. You can smelt it into
you're ready to go. You owe Amex an apology.
Wow. No, it's Visa.
Either way. Yeah. But yeah, that was the best scene of the movie. And it was, he's good. Like he's doing,
Denzel's great.
He's good. He's got a little fluffy.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. There was a couple scenes where I'm like, he's starting to look old. He's starting to get that kind of old man hunch to him.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is though, it's like, Denzel's been around.
There is a scene. Just a scene of him eating soup.
That is true.
That's
true.
Not even a joke.
Nope. There is a whole scene.
It's just me eating soup because I'm an old man.
I'm an old man now. It's all my body can take at this point.
I mean, Denzel's been around for a long time, and he's a great actor. Yep. He's a badass. But everybody ages, and you have to realize like we've grown up watching
him.
And
Tom Cruise?
Well,
yeah, he's got that weird old man barrel chest.
No, he's had that for 30 years. He's had the weird chest since he was young. It's just weird.
It's his face.
His chest is not a traditional. I've always noticed that in his shirtless scenes. You're like, his chest is just.
I don't remember seeing him shirtless when he was younger.
If you ever look at it, even like in movies from the last 10, 20 years ago, if he's shirtless, he just always looks like he's puffing out his chest. That's just his natural.
He probably is. He's just
But no, Keanu Reeves. Like some people are vampires.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That's
Nick
just,
Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage, I mean, if you take away his hairline, his face is basically the same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nature did take away his hairline.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
I feel his pain.
Along with his Action Comics number one.
Yeah, yeah. And his acting ability.
Well, that's the government. That's the tax officials.
No, his old lady made him sell that.
Oh, okay.
She said, get rid of it. And he was like, okie dokie.
Number three, Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, Joe's favorite movie of the summer. 21.7, Joe's daughter's favorite movie of the summer.
There you go.
21.7 million. It's a 51% drop from opening. It is now at $90 million domestic, another 53 overseas. So 140 on an 80 million in 2 weeks. So good for that one. Mm-hmm. Number four, Ant-Man and the Wasp made another 15.3. That's a 47% drop in week three, bringing its domestic total to $163 million. There's another 150 overseas. So it's over 300 now on I think a 120, so almost triple its budget or 2.5 times its budget, so it's doing well in a few weeks. Number five, Incredibles 2, that's in week six, making another 11 million, which is only a 32% drop, so it's been staying strong all summer and it's now at $556.8 million domestic, 322 foreign, so approaching now after this weekend probably around 900 million worldwide on that movie. 14 years later, it's quite a success. But yeah, a lot of people, I've heard nothing but good things from the people that have seen it, which, again, that's a hard one coming out that much further. Like, I'm amazed that, like, no one was let down by this movie. Like, high expectations, a great first film, and it paid off.
I also think Brad Bird knows he needed a hit.
Well, all he did was Tomorrowland that didn't...
Yeah, but what has he done between Incredibles and Incredibles 2?
Besides Tomorrowland?
Yeah,
Mission Impossible.
Protocol? The greatest action movie of the past decade.
That's
Brad Bird.
I know, that was pre Incredibles.
No,
that
was in between. Post-Incredibles?
It was in between.
You said in between. Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I guess I thought that was before Incredibles.
Oh, no. 14 years? No way.
That was the skyscraper one.
Oh, I'm thinking three.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's JJ.
That's JJ.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But lens flare.
Yeah.
You
right.
had Doves. Then you had Lens Flare. Then you had Brad Bird.
That's right.
And
now we got Chris McQuarrie.
Yeah. So
McQuarrie,
but.
Well, Doves was the second one.
Doves, right? Doves, that's what you had. Doves.
So the first one's Brian De Palma.
Right. First one's De Palma. Yeah. Second one's John Woo. Third one is J.J. Abrams. Fourth one is Brad Bird.
But that's how you keep track of. Like, each one has had its little thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Limp the first one was just a spy thriller, but the second one had the Doves. The third one had the lens flare, and then you had Brad Bird's awesome action set pieces.
And now we're here.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be really good, so we'll see next weekend. But yeah, Incredibles making a ton of money. Number six, Skyscraper, the movie from last week. So not faring too well, at least at the domestic box office. But another $10.6 million for that, a 57% drop. It is at $46 million domestic, and overseas another $40 million. So it's at $85, $86
million. That's low.
On a $125 million budget. That's... Now... the marketing isn't as high on this one. That big article came out, you know, in 2016, The Rock was the highest paid actor with 60-something million dollars.
Okay.
In 2017, he was the highest paid actor with 120-something million dollars. So he doubled his record for highest paid actor. So he is the highest paid actor of all time.
I thought, highest paid, not highest grossing.
Yeah, well, not franchise or whatever. But the crazy thing is, though, is that he gets paid so much because of his built-in marketing, so they don't have to spend quite as much as they would for normal blockbusters because he does a lot of it
right.
You know, with his followers and everything. So, you know, they may not have that big of a marketing budget to recoup, but still, on a $125 million budget,
it's not okay.
They're not okay. So it'll be interesting to see the trajectory. Not saying he's disappearing, but will he make as many of these generic...
Probably not.
Action
blockbusters. I don't know what he's got in the pipeline. I mean, obviously, there's
another Jumanji and a Fast and Furious spinoff.
But what's the dates on them? That's the question. Like, I think Jumanji's 2019.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
That Fast and Furious spinoff can't be further than 19 or 20.
But I mean, if he's doing one a year, you know,
when has he ever done anything one a year?
Well, that's true. No. That's fair.
He'll have three things, I'm sure, coming out next year.
He may be in Black Adam. No, or Shazam. We don't know yet.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, that seems like maybe his first miss in a long time.
It is,
so
yeah.
We'll see, but definitely
I don't know. Rampage didn't set the world on
fire. Oh, that's
true,
but that did better overseas.
I'm pretty sure Rampage made money, though. So, we'll have to see where this one ends up. But number seven, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in week five, that made $10.2 million, a 37% drop, so still small drops on that one. No one can argue with it, whether you liked it or not. It's making money.
Yeah, it's unfortunately.
$383 million domestic, but another $795 million before this weekend's updated totals. Almost $800. That movie is at 1.17, call it close to $1.2 billion.
That's crazy.
On a $170 million budget.
Yeah.
Six times its $170 million budget in a matter of just a few weeks.
That's so much money.
It's
ridiculous.
It's insane. Like,
rebooted franchise.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we'll see. Colin Trevorrow, who directed World and wrote all of them, is coming back to direct nine. So we'll see. Remember, they fired him from Star Wars.
Yeah, he got poop canned from Star Wars.
And everyone was like, ooh, maybe that's a good decision. So I don't know. We'll see how he wraps up this Jurassic World franchise, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. Number eight, The First Purge, $4.6 million is a 51% drop for that film in week three. It is now close to $60 million domestic.
We got a trailer for The Purge TV show at Comic-Con.
Oh, I thought that was just promotional for them.
It's a 12-episode USA show.
Is it a fake documentary about The Purge?
I haven't watched the trailer yet, okay. But it's a TV show.
Gotcha. But that one is at almost $80 million on a $13 million budget. So
Blumhouse special.
Blumhouse strikes again. That guy just cannot be stopped, and rightfully so. Solid.
Hey, what did Unfriended do? Are we there yet? Do we get that one?
No, it's the next on the list.
Oh,
I'll tell you.
All right, yeah, good.
Funny you asked, Joe. Yeah.
He's not doing these non-sequential. Right.
Well, we do sometimes.
And that's going to number one. Coming in number six.
It's just roulette. It's
sometimes,
just box roulette.
Sometimes one of those independent ones sneaks in there and knocks out other stuff.
No, it's coming up. Right now, Unfriended Dark Web, $3.3 million opening weekend.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a Blumhouse.
How much do those movies they film
that
in front of?
That other one was like $50,000.
They film them in front of a webcam. Yeah. I bet it has to be under $1 million or $1 million.
Yeah, and
there's
no
budget.
Names. But
so $3 million.
You still got to think, especially because that last one did well. And I saw this. I thought it was solid. And now it's not a supernatural thing. It's like they're going to have game night on their computer, and this guy steals a laptop.
Steals a laptop or finds a laptop?
Well, he tells people he finds a laptop, but he really stole it. Spoiler.
God.
And
and the guy's trying to hunt him down because he got LoJack on the.
And yeah, because it's like he steals it from somebody who's in the dark web and blah blah blah. And so
these kids, it's their fault. I mean, it's this kid's fault. He stole someone's laptop.
I mean, I haven't seen it, so I guess.
Do you want me to spoil it for you?
Yeah, I don't care.
Sure. It's a bait computer. Like, they were trying to get this kid to steal it.
I see.
So they could go after him, because that's what they do.
Okay.
But,
I mean, I'm not saying it's okay to murder people. I just mean, what I'm saying is, like, the kids aren't just like, oh, my God, why is this guy after me? Like, he stole someone's computer. But.
Yeah, but, I mean, even if it's a bait computer, he still stole it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like those bike videos.
It's like to catch a predator. Yeah, you weren't really talking to a
12. Fall apart. Those bike videos.
Not even that. It's the ones that are tied. I love the ones that are like
they try right off and they fly off.
Yeah, like they've got it tied by a wire.
Yeah,
and the wire is tied to a tree. And as soon as they're out of, you know, they do it on a hill on purpose, and then they just go ass over tea kettle over the bars. I love it.
I love them too. I think it's hilarious because you shouldn't be stealing people's stuff. I don't feel bad for them, but still, don't people sue people for breaking into their house because they get hurt?
Right.
Like, I'm surprised no one has sued someone.
I don't think those videos are happening in America.
Not. Because you know a criminal would be like, but well, I thought it was mine. I thought I left it here, and then
And even then, cops say it, like, not reasonable force, but like
entrapment.
Like equivalent force. Like like if somebody punches you, you don't get to pull out a gun and shoot them.
That's true,
right?
Yes.
Like, you know, like, well, he punched me, so I shot him in the face. Like, we get to do that, right? Like, it's
that's the way it works.
Yeah, like, you're supposed to try to do it.
He stole your bike. You can't like get them really hurt,
right? Like, you don't get to like cripple somebody because they stole your $100 bike.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's, you know,
but so, not litigiously speaking, they are hilarious videos. And you shouldn't steal bikes. And if you, and seriously, who, I know that people would, but it's like, really, if you have the audacity to get mad because you tried to steal somebody's bike, that's
But I've seen those, and I don't think they're taking place in the U.S.
Gotcha.
Like, Tom Mabe did a cell phone one. Where the cell phone has like a taser in it, and like he would sit it down, and like act like he fell asleep, and somebody would come over and be like, and take it, and then he would be like, oh, did you see my phone anywhere? Like, I just left it right here. They're like, oh no, I haven't seen it. And he'd have like
he'd set the trigger off
in his pocket, and he'd set it off, and he'd be like, you know, the guy would throw it, like, he couldn't get out of his pocket fast enough. He was like, cool, man, thanks.
Those videos, I mean, I know that these are very selective, and they're probably waiting hours and hours for
person. Sure.
But still, it makes you think, like, God, there's that many people out there, like, just that will just walk up and steal a bike, that will just steal a phone, that will...
Yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway, so that's the dark web, and rounding out the top 10 is Sorry to Bother You, which had a little bit wider release, now in a little over 1,000 theaters. $2.6 million is a 38% drop. It is at $10 million domestic, and that is the only place it's been released so far, but it's a little art house film. I saw it. I think it's really pretty great.
I've heard great things. Yeah, I have not seen it.
Yeah,
but.
It's great. It's definitely an art house movie, and it definitely gets weird. But I mean, that's what I like about it, because it's not the same thing you see every day.
Right.
It's very funny. It's very clever. And then it just goes nuts. And I mean, I think those are the greatest. I think those are great when a movie can catch you off guard. You think you're in for something, and then, you know, you're just like, what is happening?
Drive.
Yeah.
Drive is one of the first times
that starts off like, oh, it's a little like heist movie, a little whatever. And then it goes crazy.
And then what's her name? Christina Hendricks gets her face blown off with a shotgun.
Oscar Isaac gets shot, and then she gets blown up.
Like,
and then he beats someone to death with a hammer.
And he stomps a guy's face in. You're just like, where are we? What's happening in this movie?
Best movie of 2011. I'll never not be mad about that Oscar snub.
That was really good.
The year they expand the category to 10 and nominate 9 and leave that out. It's so frustrating. And it was, I think, the best movie of the year.
Yeah,
a lot of people were mad about that. Yeah. But anyway, so I would say go see Sorry to Bother You. Again, it's not for the easily offended or easily, like, I mean, there's some weird stuff in it, but it's very clever. Director Boots Riley, it's his first movie, so it's his directorial debut.
And
so,
he was in Get Out, right? The guy with the hat at the party?
The star, Lakeith Stanfield,
was the guy that says Get Out. We see in the very beginning.
He's that guy. Yeah, the director is just, I mean, it's his first movie, but he does a great job with this. Lakeith Stanfield is fantastic. He's phenomenal. I really like that actor.
Yeah.
I think he's in Atlanta. I only watched the first few episodes,
he might be.
And it was when it first aired, so I can't remember, or if he's even been seen yet in like the ones I saw, but he's a really good actor. So, you know, if you want to go support independent cinema, you know, this is a great choice. And now it's a little wider release, so you can probably catch it at like AMC near you. So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do that in a myriad of places. iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers, Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And don't forget, as I often do, our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle The Equalizer 2.
Son of a bitch.
Until then, you've been warned, Joe.
Mixtapes got a little Hank, little Drake, a little something bumping, thump thumping on the wheel ride. The mix in our drink's a little stronger than you think, so get a grip, take a sip of that feel ride. Truck's jacked up, flat bills flip back. Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.